If you are a child in an Ontario public school studying sexual education, you are stuck in a time far different than your own. Your sex ed curriculum, last revised in 1998, reflects a world in which Coldplay is cool, sexting doesn't exist, and Facebook isn't even an idea brewing in Mark Zuckerberg's brain. Your curriculum predates not only every piece of technology you consume on a daily basis, but also what is likely your mother's favorite talk show. In 1998, Ellen DeGeneres had only recently come out of the closet. It would be another 5 years before she began dancing down the studio aisles of The Ellen Show, ingratiating North America to the idea of the friendly daytime lesbian. When she did in 2003, same-sex marriage was legalized in Canada, cybersex was in full swing, and Beyoncé officially broke from Destiny's Child. But your sex ed curriculum doesn't reflect these monumental cultural shifts in our society because it is a relic. Until now, that is. This week, Ontario Premier Kathleen Wynne unveiled the province's revamped sex ed curriculum, one that makes no reference to the great Beyoncé Destiny's Child schism of 2003, but includes other topics equally significant to the modern age. Topics such as sexting, cyberbullying, and LGBT issues, namely that families come in all different shapes and sizes, a fact even Mrs. Doubtfire embraced in 1993. The new curriculum, first revised in 2010 but shelved by then-Premier Dalton McGuinty after a small group of socially conservative parents complained, will be introduced to the province's schools in September, but not without controversy. The same group of parents and activists who spooked McGuinty in 2010 stage a modest-sized protest at Queen's Park in Toronto on Tuesday, chanting slogans and holding signs, one of which actually read, "What's next? Safe animal sex?" Chief among the things that disturb this group is the early age at which students will learn the facts of life. Kids in grade 2 will learn about consent. Kids in grade 3 will learn about homosexuality and same-sex marriage, which is to say they will learn that such things exist, not that the Adonis Bathhouse in Toronto offers a 30-minute soft hands massage. Students in grade 7 and 8 will get the facts on contraception, STDs, and oral and anal sex. Being products of a hypersexual era, they will likely know these things already and a whole lot more, whether their parents want them to or not. Studies show that kids watch porn for the first time when they are 12. But parents worry about sex ed in Ontario. In fact, parents wary of progressive sex education anywhere in the country shouldn't despair at the thought of teachers taking health class into the future. They should rejoice. In fact, they have more reason to rejoice than their socially liberal counterparts. For there is no dissuading voice more powerful when it comes to sex than the voice of an enthusiastic, open-minded parent. And what are teachers but loco parentis? Kids don't giggle in health class because they are titillated, but because they are embarrassed. Talking to a teacher about sex, watching him circle the urethra on a giant diagram of a penis, or put a condom on a banana, which they still did in my sex ed classroom at the turn of the millennium, does not typically make a kid hot and bothered. It makes her cringe. The saving grace to sex ed in my youth, i.e. the sex ed of today, was that the types of things that did get us hot and bothered, cybersex, webcam shows, internet porn, existed entirely outside the classroom. They were covert, they were unknown to both parents and teachers alike, and thus free from awkward school-sanctioned dissection. When the new sex ed curriculum rolls out in September, this will cease to be the case in Ontario. Students will not be made aware of sexting through their friends or those sexting them, but through their teachers. In other words, when Susie receives her first explicit text message, she may not be able to shake the image of Mr. Johnson's lesson in sex ed about the dangers of dick pics. This doesn't mean that cybersex will never be had again or that kids will stop downloading porn, but that an intensely private world will for the first time be made public in a very sterile, cerebral, and unsexy way. In the end, progressive sex ed may not just be a victory for public health, but for abstinence.